Hello, I'm allegedly John McAfee.
And I'm Gary Leland, and you're listening to episode 95 of the Crypto Cousins Podcast.
Feed your interest in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies by joining Hall of Fame podcaster Gary Leland on the Crypto Cousins Podcast. And remember, we are all cousins in the world of crypto. This week's price of Bitcoin.
$7,929. That's down $106, or 1.4% over the last 7 days. Howdy, howdy, howdy. John, welcome to the show. I appreciate you taking the time. I know it's been a busy day for you there.
Well, it has. Yesterday was Mother's Day, and we partied all day because Janice is the epitome and sort of the archetype of mothers, so we celebrated. We got up this morning and decided to come across to Stocking Island. I'm here in the Bahamas. We grabbed the dinghy, took just one of our security guards, and came over, and we discovered watermelon martinis and have been drinking them heavily. So I hope I will be coherent throughout this whole thing.
Well, I bet you will. Tell me about watermelon martinis. How are those?
You know, I can't possibly describe how divine they are. I mean, there are certain things that are just so profoundly beautiful that they defy description. So words won't do it. However, if you had tasted one, you would do exactly what I did, which is taste another, just to make sure you're experiencing correctly, and then another. And this is my fourth one I'm on now.
Well, I'm sorry I'm not there with you. One of these days I'm going to come down to the Bahamas and join you, and we can have one in person. That sounds like a good time to me.
You're always welcome. In fact, anybody listening is always welcome. We are living the American dream outside of America. And, you know, I am, as everyone knows, or as many know, I'm for the second time running for president. I have no chance of winning. We all know that. What idiot would believe that I could be the president? Nevertheless, it gives me access to the national stage. So, yeah, we are living the American dream. And the American dream isn't money. It's not resources. It's not some material thing. It's a state of mind. That's what the American dream is. And I have that state of mind, as does Janice and everybody on my crew. We feel, or at least I do, I don't know how anybody else really feels, we feel free. I feel totally free, in spite of the fact that I'm being chased by the IRS and the NSA. It would be the FBI if I were in America, but FBI cannot operate overseas, so they turn it over to the NSA. And we live sort of on the edge. You know, we're always looking over our shoulder. I have a bunch of security guards that are extremely tough people. I have not been alone, by the way, in over 20 years, except for one moment, and that was last week, where for a solid hour, I was just me and my dogs. So, you know, people say they would like to be me. It was nonsense. I promise you, living one day and by shoes, you would not want to be me.
Well, I have a couple of questions on your political campaign and your tax evasion situation. So let's get into that. Number one, we know you're running for the second time for the Libertarian Party. I saw where you were going to have clones at debates. Can you tell me about that? What does that mean?
Well, I can't come back to America. I can't come back and debate because I would be arrested as soon as I stepped off the airplane. What I've done is we have two sets of masks. One is a cardboard sort of mask that looks exactly like me, and one is one that pulls over the head. And depending upon the shape of the other person's head, it could look extraordinarily nice or grotesque. But what we've done is we have a very simple set of technology, a little speaker which plugs into the bottom of your smartphone, that if you're within 3 feet of a microphone, it sounds exactly the same volume as a human voice. We have the telephone is actually watching and recording, so I can, not recording, but listening, so that I can see the audience, and I can hear their questions, and my voice will come back. So I from my boat here in the Bahamas, I will be able to be in the debates for those debates where people will let me. Now, the first time this is actually happening is on the blockchain cruise coming up in the first week of June, and I will have my Eastern Board campaign manager be me. You know, he will put the mask over his head, stand on stage. He will have an earphone where someone else will be directing him, like raise your hand, you know, whatever. Or if it's after the keynote, if he's talking to someone, he'll say, now shake hands now, back up now, nod your head, whatever. So it'll kind of be like me, only grotesquely so, but it will be my voice. I will hear the audience. I will answer questions. I can certainly hear the questions from the people who are managing and coordinating the debate. So That's the clone concept. Since I cannot be there, I'm sending clones everywhere. The advantage to that is I can be everywhere at once. So that's one advantage I have over anybody else, Trump included.
If you need a clone in Dallas, Texas, let me know. That sounds like that would be fun to do. And I can be your clone in Dallas, Texas.
Well, we definitely going to need one, okay? We don't even have a campaign manager for Texas yet. But we have campaign managers throughout the world in 17 different countries now. And people ask, why are you campaigning in, like, Ireland? I have a campaign manager there. And the answer is very simple. Ireland and every country in the world is interested in U.S. elections. Why? Because we are the power. We're the brutality. We're the policemen of the world. And everybody is hoping and praying that whoever is elected is not going to affect their country. The countries like the Bahamas, Mexico, even Canada, who are so close to America that they have to toe the line, they literally, the Canadians maybe not, but they literally hate Americans. They feel oppressed. They feel like we are brutal policemen in places where we do not belong. And that is true if you think about it. Why are we in the Middle East? How many of our politicians speak Farsi or Arabic? How many of them understand, for example, the history, the religious relationships, the political relationships? I think none of them. They all say, well, I have advisors. But please God, what is an advisor? An advisor is the one who takes control. If you do not understand something and you're depending on someone else, you're going to get fucked. You know, a little old lady who takes a car to the repair shop. And she needs an oil change. They say, I'm sorry, but the distributor is broken, da-da-da-da-da-da. What is she going to do? I mean, the mechanic is the god. So it's the same thing. Advisors are no excuse. If you can't do it yourself as one person, trusting only you, then just don't do it. So for me, we should not be doing it. We shouldn't be in the Middle East. We shouldn't be in all of these places where we're involved. Do we not have problems here at home? I think we do. So the problem is systemic throughout our entire government. And what I want to do is simply point to it. I don't want to be president. Good God, no one could possibly expect me to be president, least of all me. But I can get on the national stage, I promise you that. And I will get the Libertarian nomination, I promise you that. Why? There's nobody else. Governor Johnson's left the party. Bill Weld went back to the Republican Party. And Austin Peterson, he's left the Republican Party. So it's me and Vermin Supreme, the man who wears a boot on his head all the time. Maybe Vermin Supreme will beat me out. And if so, I like Vermin. I will get behind him. Okay? His platform is simple and has always been the same. A free pony for every American. And so I think, good, I can get behind that.
Right. Hey, I know that originally, at one time, I want to jump off another subject for a second. At one point, you had made a post. You were going to basically put out who Satoshi Nakamoto was, but Mario Gray, your extradition lawyer, and you talked, and y'all decided not to release the identity of Satoshi Nakamoto.
That's because I don't want to be extradited. If I'm extradited, game over for me. I can't talk to the American people from a prison. That's one of the things they don't let you do. That's how we are silenced. Any free person, any free thinker, any radical, anyone conceived or to be an enemy of the state is silenced, usually by that way. You collect them, put them in prison, don't let anybody talk to them. But what is the state? Can we talk about that for a moment? The government is not America. Please God. The government is composed of individuals that we elected to serve the people. End of story. When was the last time you felt served, people? Those of you listening? I've never felt served by our government. I felt abused. I've had to wait in long lines to get, quote, service, which is a rude person that does not like their job and has to take it out on the person who's standing in line. No. When were you served last? That's the question. I don't feel served. Therefore, get the hell out of office and let's hire people who will serve us.
How would outing Satoshi Nakamoto get you extradited? That's what I was confused on.
This is how it was explained to me. Number one, Maybe he doesn't want to be outed. And if he is definitely one of the richest people in the world.
Right.
And if he chose to sue me on American soil and I did not respond, well, I'm in deep shit. Or if I exposed the wrong person, maybe I am wrong, unlikely, but maybe, then that person will have all kinds of people wanting money, wanting cash, and there may be some ordinary homeowner somewhere. So, no, what he's saying is I cannot tolerate any further legal activities pointed at me. I didn't understand that. It will complicate everything. It would make them, for example, the American prosecution say, here's another reason you need to extradite Mr. McAfee. He's being sued for $200 billion in America, and he's trying to avoid that. So I don't want that.
Okay, that's good enough. Good. So well, can you say this? Is it Craig Wright?
It's not Craig Wright.
I'm going to assume.
I'm not saying Craig Wright was not around during that time and did not know these people, but it was not Craig Wright. Listen, the science of authorship recognition is extremely sophisticated these days. In the past year, they've been massive advances. If you take the white paper and you run the modern analysis against it and analysis of other papers, assuming that Satoshi wrote other things, which he did, it's an open and shut case. It actually was two authors. I'm not going to name them. Now, I did do a post yesterday which named a couple of people, but didn't say they were Satoshi, did I? Because Satoshi is not people who worked on it, not people who developed it. Satoshi is the man or woman or group that wrote the white paper, the Bitcoin white paper. Well, that is so easy to get to that any fool could find it.
Well, I'm going to have to assume from what you're saying, Satoshi Nakamoto is still alive, whoever that is, from the way you're talking. And in your opinion,
the two are still alive. Absolutely. Now, it's supposed to be revealed tomorrow. I think you'll find a tragic disappointment. I do not think it will. Or whoever steps forward, I promise you, it's neither one of these people, because neither one of these people want anyone to know.
Well, why do you suppose he has never touched any of his Bitcoin? I mean, I'm just curious what you think is the reason. I know you don't know for sure, but what do you think is the reason?
Because maybe unlike me, who happens to be 73 years old, it's a younger couple of men who go, I'm going to wait 15 years when Bitcoin is $5 million, and then I'm going to take over the world. I don't know.
Right.
That you'll have to ask the Satoshi if he is in fact revealed tomorrow. And if the person revealed is not Satoshi, I'm just going to say so. That's bullshit, nonsense. Let's move on. It's the same thing Craig Wright is doing. So, but yeah, I don't know. You'll have to ask him. The reason that people do things, the good Lord, they're legion. For example, if you were Satoshi and you were in a country that had income tax, good God Almighty, would that not be a problem? You know, I've got $50 billion worth of assets and I'm not paid a dime. You know, the IRS can do whatever they want. Or you might want to move out of the country to a place like, I don't know, Malta, where you don't have to worry about those things. Or the Bahamas, where you don't have to worry. There's no income tax here. There's no income tax in a few countries. That's the country I would move to.
Right. That also makes sense. Right now, Bitcoin's gone on a tear this weekend. But it's still to be... have you ever seen the McAfee Bitcoin $1 million graph? You know, where Bitcoin should be to meet your $1 million bet? And it should be $55,000 today, according to that graph.
No, I have no clue. Because I'm a long-term thinker. I don't care what it is today. I don't care if it's $5 today. It's still going to be $1 million by the end of 2020. I'm a long-term planner, a long-term thinker. Here's the problem. The market, people look at the market like it's a psychological thing. Oh, we've got to watch the 6,500 mark. And now the 7,000 mark. And now the 7,000. That's so utter bullshit. Please, God. There is a reality behind the market which cannot be stopped. And that is the adoption of cryptocurrency, the adoption of Bitcoin. And no matter what you may say it's worth, it is worth exactly what it's worth, which is way above 50 grand. I'm sorry this is only selling for seven, but you watch it for a while.
Well, we've had a good weekend this weekend, that's for sure. It's been a good year this year, that's for sure.
Well, you're going to see an awesome year, I promise you. But I can't predict anything a month away or 2 months or even three or four. It's impossible. No mathematics in the world could possibly predict anything that short. But 18 months? Oh, hell yes. We got that.
Okay. Hey, before we go on, I do want to make sure everybody out there listening knows about my Bitcoin conference I do in August called BitBlock Boom. Check out my website, bitblockboom.com, for the conference on August the 17th and 18th, and use the code COUSINS for a 30% discount if you're interested.
And by the way, if I could come back to America, I would definitely attend that conference.
And I would love to have you here, John. I wish you could. So you're thinking 2019, we're going to see this year is going to be the year we're going to start seeing a break. I know 2020, the end of 2020, is your million-dollar bet. But you think before this year is over, we'll start seeing the movement that we need to see?
I can't say. Maybe at the end of the year, I could say. Again, it's just too short, sir. It's only 8 months away. I mean, how in the world can... There's no math. And by the way, I'd like to remind the world one thing. Everybody is comparing the crypto market to the stock market. Good God almighty, people wake up. There is not a single formula, not a single paradigm, not a single set of numbers that can possibly be transferred over to the cryptocurrency market. Please get real. A brand new paradigm is one that we have, and few have possibly even perceived it. To me, it's the mathematics of point set topology. And oddly enough, happened to be my major in graduate school. So, no, nothing, absolutely nothing from the stock market will move over. And that's why we're seeing such volatility. People are applying those formulas, that paradigm, all of these systems to cryptocurrency, and they just don't fucking work. So there's nothing but volatility. Stop. Wake up. This is a new world demanding a new paradigm starting from a brand new location, which did not even exist 10 years ago. So wake up.
Hey, John, let's go back a little bit. How did you first originally find out about Bitcoin?
I was living in Belize, and a gentleman named Jim Zoronsky, who has worked for me in at least two companies, and one of the brightest technicians I know, came down to Belize, sat me down and said, read this, the white paper. I go, I don't have the time. Because earlier he'd called me and said, how are you doing? I said, hell you, Jim, what are you doing these days? He says, I'm mining. Well, in my mind, I go, mining? Fuck me, for what? Gold? coal? No, right? No, seriously, if you did not hear that word. So after reading the white paper, well, Jesus, I'm a mathematician, okay? I understood where it was going and could not be stopped from going there. Now, people go, oh, yeah, but what about the bear market? What about this? They go, listen, it's like the ant who's on a path, and here's an elephant coming down. And the ant says, no, you may not pass. Now, if the elephant pauses, he only pauses because of astonishment, right? What are you saying? Are you for real? And may even have a conversation. But I promise you, that elephant is going to continue down the path. I do not care what you want to put in front of it. It will be the largest thing in the universe in terms of trying to stop. So I saw that back in 2012, maybe 2010. I saw that instantly, and it has performed exactly as I have predicted ever since. And it is impossible for me to lose this bet. Impossible. It's mathematically impossible. Please, God, people, read a point set topology beginning textbook, sit back, think, and then apply that and tell me it's going to be less than $1 million. I'm very conservative. Anyway, we hell of a lot more than that. But I don't want to lose a bet. I don't want to eat my dick.
Well, I certainly am one of those people who hope you are correct. Number one, I don't want to see you eat your dick either. And number two, I would like my Bitcoin to be worth $1 million apiece. So I'm doubly on your side on that.
If you think it's only worth $1 million, you'll be pleasantly surprised on the upper side. I promise you this.
Well, that sounds really great to me. I'm excited about that. And I do want to let you know, I know you're busy, and I know you're ready to get back probably to another watermelon martini. So I'm going to start ending this up for you. But I do want to make sure you know, if by some crazy chance you get all your IRS stuff taken care of, you're more than welcome to come to BitBlock Boom. I'll take care of you. And I want to make sure and thank Janice for putting this together for me. She's great. She's been really good to me over the years. The last time we interviewed, she took care of it for me. I do have two questions left. Number one, what is your favorite book?
My favorite book is Charles Darwin, Origin of Species.
And your favorite quote?
My favorite quote? Well, I don't know. There's so many favorite quotes. The one I like the best is, the older I get, the funnier sex looks to me. And that was George Bernard Shaw.
And And what one last question. What advice would you give someone new getting into crypto?
Do nothing until you understand absolutely the mechanics of what crypto is. For example, I stupidly downloaded the Ethereum free wallet 2 years ago, was using it for a bunch of stuff, had about 50 grand in it, and it was emptied out immediately by some hacker. Make sure the wallet you're using, especially if it's a software wallet, has a high security rating. And if you have lots of money, don't leave it on any software wallet. Get a hardware wallet, put it on that. But before you even if you've done those things, how many of us, late at night, after we've been passing money around all day, there's someone we have to send, you know, $100 to or $50 to. And instead of changing the top lines from Bitcoin to US dollars, we leave it Bitcoins, and suddenly we've transmitted 50 Bitcoins to somebody. And we are not going to get that back. That's what I'm trying to explain. You have to have not just self-confidence, self-trust, but you have to have the will to pay attention and the balance and understanding to accept responsibility when you fuck up. That's the advice I would give.
Well, I think most people aren't going to have to worry about that 50 Bitcoin deal.
Okay, well, whatever.
I know. I'm just messing with you, John. John, I'm just messing
with you. I've done it. I'm not 50 Bitcoins. I mean, I've done it. I've said there was, you know, whatever. Missed a decimal point. It's amazing how you can fuck up late at night, all right? Especially after you've been drinking.
I agree with that.
That's the other advice. Do not transfer Bitcoins while you've been drinking. Yes. Of course, you could accept all you want, right?
That sounds like the best advice at all. Hey, where can people follow you? Where should people follow you at, John?
The only social media I use anymore is Twitter. I'm sorry for those that are not Twitterites. But for business, for ease, in other words, everything has to be 280 characters. I love the fact that people can't ramble. That if you have a statement, and if you can put it in 280 characters, then there's something wrong with your thinking. So I do 10 times as much, get 10 times as much productivity by using Twitter than anything else. I mean, Facebook, you can ramble on forever, you name it. So my Twitter handle is at Official McAfee. But that'll do you no good in terms of getting help or getting, you know, scheduling an interview. In order to do to do anything really, you have to talk to my wife, and that's at the Mrs. McAfee, who's right here, and say goodbye, sweetie.
Goodbye, sweetie.
Okay, that was Janice.
Hey, Janice, thanks for helping me out here. Janice was a big help here on this.
You're very welcome, Gary. You're most welcome.
Well, I'm going to let y'all get back to your martinis, and maybe later in the year I'll see you down there for one.
Well, I hope so. And would you please send the link when it's ready to Janice?
I certainly will.
Perfect. Not that I'm lazy. I get hundreds of DMs a day, sometimes thousands of emails. I can't even open them all, let alone read them all. So, but Janice is much more balanced and much more efficient than me. All right?
Well, thank you for your time, John. Thank you, Janice. And y'all have a good day and enjoy your martinis.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. A big thank you to all the cousins out there that are showing their support by donating, subscribing, and leaving great reviews on iTunes. All of those things help more than you realize. Now, you can subscribe almost anywhere podcasts are available by going to CryptoCousins.com/subscribe. Call me with your comments or questions at 747-777-9471. Or you can email me at thecryptocousins@gmail.com, and I'll try to use these on future episodes. Please take a peek at the 4-Minute Crypto Show, which is produced every weekday and located at 4MinuteCrypto.com. It's the place to get your daily dose of crypto news, and as always, 4 minutes or less. And one last thing, please take a look at my new website, Crypto Crybaby. This website is for the true crypto fan and sells Bitcoin and crypto gear like t-shirts, caps, and so much more. Take a look at CryptoCrybaby.com today. Thanks again for listening. Love you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Cousins podcast. Please share the show with your friends. They can subscribe by going to CryptoCousins.com/subscribe. And if you want to know more about Gary, just go to GaryLeland.com. Make sure and join Gary and all the Crypto Cousins every week for a new episode of the Crypto Cousins podcast. The Crypto Cousins podcast and the information included in the podcast are not intended as investment advice. Investing in any cryptocurrency is risky, and you should never invest more than you can afford to lose. Always seek professional advice before investing in any cryptocurrency. Please understand, you are using any and all information from the Crypto Cousins at your own risk.